This building to grow crowded, sure. Dietrich asked Thierry to put down the fighting, but the Burgvolk declined.
I have here only the garrison, he explained. 5 knights, 8 sentries, 2 gatekeepers, and a tower master. I will not expend them to pacify those creatures.
Why have you been left here, sir? Dietrich demanded, if not to preserve order.
Thierry bore impertinence less patiently than Manfred.
Von Falkenstein is no man to idle while his enemies attack. And though he cannot strike Freiburg or Vienna, he is perfectly able to ravage the Hochwald. If he sallies, I will need every man hale, alert, and under arms. Should any crank flee here for sanctuary, he will have it. But I will not police the fighting. That is Grosswald's besitting. And I will not stand between him and his disobedient vassals.
Discontent with this ruling, Dietrich borrowed a horse from the stables and set off toward Falcon Rock, where he hoped to obtain Manfred's intervention. The urge to press on warred with the need to pick his way carefully down the switchback along the side of the Katharinaberg, and through the thickets and other obstacles in the gorge. He was still deep within the shadowed gorge when he heard a dull thump of thunder and saw a plume of dark smoke rise over the far end of the valley. He arrived at Falcon Rock after Nonis, less weary in body than anxious in mind, and sought the Hochwald banner in a sprawling camp of no particular order or arrangement. Noble emblems waved on all sides like the flags on a festival tree. Here the double eagle of the Habsburgs, there the golden sash of the Markgraf and the red and white bars of Urach. Elsewhere, each at its own bastion, the arms of the weavers, the silversmiths, and the other Freiburger guilds. Von Falkenstein had badly misjudged how long the guildsmen would tolerate his impositions. Now the mechanics and shopkeepers had risen from their benches to pull the pebble from their shoe. The camp servants were in great celebration, and Dietrich saw the reason for it when he reached the head of the camp. The gates to Burg Falkenstein hung loose, and the portal had collapsed as if Sigynot had smashed it with his club. The clash of weapons and the shouts of men drifted faintly from above. The crankish thunderpaste had forced an entry into the schloss, but the way was narrow, and notoriously the gap of danger could be held if stoutly defended. Indeed, the rubble mound below the breach had gleamed in the late afternoon sun with the armor and fittings of men and horses. Dietrich found the Hochwald tents at last, but the Hare's pavilion was empty, his body servant nowhere in evidence. Manfred's honor would have propelled him into the gap of danger, and he might, even now, sleep among those gleaming dead. Dietrich re-entered the tent, and finding a divan crafted in the Turkish style, set himself to wait. As evening deepened into night, the battle sounds faded, signaling that the last of the diehards had been slain or taken captive. Arms and armor fell to the victor, so many knights fought to the death, less for love of their lord than to escape penury and shame. Attackers trickled back into camp, chivying prisoners to be ransomed, and carrying the loot with which years of highway robbery had filled Falcon Rock. Earlier, Dietrich had from boredom found a book in Manfred's baggage, but as it concerned falconry, it had done little to relieve that boredom, and he had found himself fretting, instead, over the copyist's hand or the qualities of the illuminations. When he heard the irregular tramp of hobnails outside, Dietrich put the volume aside and emerged from the tent. Attendants had built the fire back up, and Max the Schweitzer was settling his men about it. He straightened in surprise.
"Pastor, what is wrong? You've been wounded."
Dietrich touched the bandage. "There is fighting in the village. Where is Manfred?"
"At the chirurgeon's tent."
"Fighting? Was it that sally from the watchtower? We thought they fled toward Breitnau."
"No, the Kränken battle among themselves, and Thierry will do nothing." Max spat into the fire.
"Thierry is skilled at defense. Let Grosswald handle matters."
Grosswald is not least among the brawlers. It is for Manfred to decide.
Max scowled.
He won't like it. Andreas, take charge of the men. Come then, Pastor, you'll not find the chirurgeon in this maze.
He set off at a brisk pace, and Dietrich had to match his stride to keep up.
Is he grievous hurt? Dietrich asked.
He took a blow that cost him a cheek and several teeth, but I think the chirurgeon can sew it back together. The cheek, I mean.
Dietrich crossed himself and offered up a silent prayer for the hare's well-being. The man had been a strange and cautious friend for many years, peculiar in his humors, and given much to contemplation since his lady had died, visceral in his tastes, yet not without depths. He was one of the few with whom Dietrich could discuss any but the most mundane matters. But he had misunderstood. It was Eugen, not Manfred, who sat strapped into the chair in the chirurgeon's tent. A dentator was removing the broken teeth one by one with a pelican, a French novelty but recently come into use. The dentator's muscles bulged with the effort, and Eugen stifled cries with every pull. The Junker's face was black from the blow it had sustained. Blood spattered his brow, chin, nose, and painted the teeth exposed by the open flap of cheek, a hideous scarlet. His skull grinned through the wound. Nearby, a blood-spattered chirurgeon read from a dog-eared book while he waited. Manfred, who stood by the chair to fortify the lad, noticed Dietrich's arrival and by signs indicated that conversation would wait. Dietrich paced restlessly about the tent, his mission pressing upon him. Nearby stood a stained table on which the chirurgeon customarily worked, and beside it a basket of dry sponges. Curious, Dietrich bent to take one up, but the chirurgeon stopped him.
No, no, padre. Very dangerous, those.
His patois of French and Italian revealed him for a Savoyard. They are soaked with an infusion of opium, mandragora bark, and henbane root, and the poison he may transfer to your fingers. Then, he mimed licking a finger as if to page his manuscript.
You see, very bad.
Dietrich backed away from the suddenly malignant sponges.
What do you use them for? When the pain he is so great I cannot cut without the danger, I moisten the sponge to release her fumes and hold it under the man's nose, so, until he's asleep.
But...
And he held a fist out, thumb and little finger extended, and wagged it.
Too much of the fumo. He no wake, eh? But for the most grievous wounds, maybe better he die in peace than in torment, eh?
May I see your book?
Dietrich indicated the volume in the chirurgeon's hands.
He is called the Four Masters. He described the best practice of the ancients, Saracens and Christians. Master Salerno compiled him many years ago, before the Sicilian Familia killed all the Angevins. This book, he added proudly, he is a copy direct from the master's copy, but I am add to it.
Finely done, Dietrich said, returning it. Does Salerno then teach your jury? The Savoyard laughed.
Holy blue! Mending wounds is an art, not a scholar. Well, at Bologna is a scholar founded by Henry de Luca, but your jury is for clever hands, he wiggled his fingers, not clever minds.
Yeah, the name chirurgeon is Greek for hand labor.
Oh-ho, I see you're a scholar.
I have read Galen, Dietrich ventured.
But that was many. The Savoyard spat on the ground.
Galen! At Bologna, de Luca, he cut open the cadavers and see that Galen, no shit! Galen cut up only pigs, and men are not the pigs! I myself was apprentice when first public dissection, 30 years since, I think. My master and I, we make the cuts, while important dottore, he describe what he see for the students. Ha! We need no physician to tell us what we see with our own eyes.
Holy blue, you have the head wound? May I see her?
Ah, she's deep, but... Did you clean it with the vino, as De Luca and Henry de Mondeville command?
No.
He dabbed at the cut with a rag moistened in wine.
Wine that has turned is best. Now I dry the cut and bring the edges together as the Lombards do. La natura, she make a viscous fluid to bind the edges without the needlework. I will wrap the wound with hemp to draw off the heat.
The dentator had by then finished his work, and the garrulous chirurgeon took his leave to attend to Eugen's cheek. The Junker, sweating and exhausted from the work on his jaw and teeth, watched the approaching knife with something approaching relief. Knives, he understood, The pelican had been too much like an instrument of torture.